हरे कृष्ण
हरे
ओम ज्ञान तिमरंदस्या ज्ञानानां ज्ञाना शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितम्. So one thing I forgot to mention when we were at Terkadamba, because now they've remodeled the temple, but before there was, these slokas were right behind the bhajan kutir of Srila Rupa Goswami, where now they put a beautiful picture of the pastime of Radharani coming and bringing milk and sugar and rice. So that one was there. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapada. Beneath it, there was another verse that I also, in many tapes I've heard, our Kinchana Krishnadas, we were mentioning him at Pavan Sarovar, he always used to chant, Adadanas Chinandantai. You know Dant. Dant means tooth. And Trin. Some straw. So taking some straw between my teeth, adadanas chinandandai, ridam yache puna puna, yachna means to beg. So what am I begging? Ridam yache puna puna, again and again. I'm not going to puna, I'm just again and again begging. Ridam yache puna puna, srimad rupa padambujo. Ambuja. Ambu means water, and ja, just like you know Janmashtami, means ambuja, who's born in the water. This is lotus. Padambuja, those lotus feet. I'm not begging for the lotus feet even, that's too much for me to ask. Srimad Rupa Padambujo, duli, let me get the dust of those lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada Goswami. Srimad Rupa Padambujo, duli siam. Janma janmani, birth after birth, I just want to get the dust of the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami. This is all I'm begging for. This is a very favorite verse of Akinshana Krishnadas Babaji, and it's also written there. Now they've put it beside the door of the Bhajan Kutir. So we're sitting here in this very, very austere place. Now we see some, at least some little villages here. But you just imagine in the time of Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, even now, you will hardly find any Braj Prakamas coming to this place. There's no facility here. We're just sitting here in this dusty little place. The Brindadevi's parrots are laughing. Oh, look, all these Bombay Walis with their big silk saris and these Bombay Walas with their big white dhotis are sitting here in the dust. They're all laughing. I heard them. Even our Braj Mandal Prakrama only comes here because they're in Nandagam at the time of Prabhupada's disappearance festival, so they come by bus, run inside that same road you came inside, then they run out and they go to Prabhupada's disappearance. Otherwise, hardly anybody comes here. So you can just imagine, now there's a little bit of a village at that time. What austere conditions Lokanath Goswami was living under. Just imagine. And one time we were coming through the forest and we were trying to find Kadiravan. Everyone just looked at us with blank eyes. Anytime we were trying to get to Kadiravan, all the Brijbasis just looked at us with blank eyes. Finally, was one was a little bit smart. Oh, Kedarvan! You want to go to Kedarvan? I said, yeah, that's where we want to go, Kedarvan. Because actually the two names are correct, but nobody in Braj knows Kadiravan. First of all, both the A and the I are short in Kedarvan. So, but there's a reason. I don't know which tree it is, but there's supposed to be so many Kadira. Yeah, Kadira per konsa? Kadira. Kadira per konsa? I don't know. But also, because that Bakasur, he chased after Krishna and swallowed him, because he chased him. Kedna means to chase. So therefore it's Kedarvan. Otherwise, it's the official name is Kaira. Because as soon as that Bakasuri swallowed up, Kaira, 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 all the gopas, they were shocked. Kalia, Kaira, Are, well, Kalia, he ate him up. So the village name is actually Kaira after this. And he wasn't really a duck, he was a crane. With big, long beak. And Maharaj is saying he represents deception. You know why? You ever seen the crane? He sits there in the water on one leg. He's standing there in the water, very still, like he's a great yogi. As soon as little fish will come, so this is why he's a representative of hypocrisy and deception. You know, you see yogi sitting there, great dhyan. He's just trying to see how much money you're going to put on his toe. As a Hindi, we call this bird bugala. So that person, bugala, all right. But we call him bugala bucket. That hypocrite devotee is bugala bucket. He's putting on big show of devotional service, but he's just waiting how he can get some sense gratification. So we don't want to become bugala bhagats. Maharaj so nicely described. But he also described that transcendental deception. So he was talking about Kokilavan. And actually, what happened was, have you ever seen Kokila? They're very difficult to see. You will hear them. Just like especially at Mayapur festival time. They start later here, but Mayapur already... They start low. But you'll never see them. Very difficult. They hide inside those bakul trees. There's so much foliage. You know, you never see them. When you finally see them, you'll be very disappointed. He's black, just like a crow. In fact, the Hindi poets, they say, this god is very perverse. He gave this Kokila such a beautiful voice, and he looks like a crow. And this peacock has this beautiful foliage, and he's just squawking. This god is very perverse. So he's black. So, as Maharaj described, even the Kokilas were noting down the songs that Krishna was singing. So Lalita and Visakha, they went to Jatila. Because deception, this is the... this is the quality of, especially, well, this is just quality of women in general, period, especially little girls. So they went there, and they said, "Oh, Mother Jatila, we never heard a Kokila sing like this one there in Kokilavan. Do you hear?" "Oh, yes, Beta, I heard. It's so nice, huh?" She also heard, "Can we go there and see?" Because they know there must be a very special Kokila there. Because one mother told me, she said, "I would much rather have boys than girls, you know. With boys, you always know what's going on. Hey, what's all that noise out in the garage? Oh, Mom, we put the cat in the washing machine. It's really far out. Come and see." Let me tell you the truth, you know. But little girls, you know, upstairs, it's very quiet. There's no sound. "Oh, Lali, what's going on upstairs?" "Nothing, Mata." "Oh, nothing, Mata." She has all her best saris, all of her makeup, all her friends are there. All "Oh, nothing, Mata." So like that, Lalita says, "Can we go see that Kokila there in Kokilavan?" They've already figured it all out, you know. So this is transcendental deception. Dovetailing the quality. So also in Kokilavan is very famous for Shanidev temple. Now you'll see every Saturday at least 20,000-30,000 people are coming there to that place. It's amazing. Even from Delhi, from Jaipur, from all over they come there. Because Shanidev is there and everybody's worried about Shanidev. Saturn, for those who don't know Hindi. Saturn. But actually, Saturn, his business is to give us our karma. He's like the policeman, you know. Now, if you haven't done anything wrong, you don't have to fear karma. Everybody's afraid of him, but if you didn't do anything wrong. But we all done something wrong, so we're all afraid of him. So everybody goes there to worship. So what happened was Nanda Baba was having his Nandutsav, just like we were. Every year there was Nandutsav festival there in Nandagam. We were representing that the other night so nicely. So all the demigods, rishis, everybody was coming from distance. Nanda Baba saw that Sunnydev was coming. So, if Sunnydev comes, everybody will run away. So he sent his messenger, please tell him to go away, don't come here. So Sunnydev was frustrated. He couldn't give darshan of Krishna. But Krishna's in everyone's heart. He understood what happened. So he went to Mother Yasoda. He said, Maya, last night I saw sapan, dream. Achalala, what did you see in a dream? One boot came, ghost. Achalala, Akewa, what happened? He told me that your Mother Yasoda hasn't done my puja, therefore I'm going to come in the night and eat you up. Alelala, where is that boot? I'll do his puja right away. Mata, he's there in Kokilavan. So Mother Yasoda immediately packed up Krishna under her arm and she ran off with all her puja paraphernalia. They went there to Kokilavan and she did the puja of Sunnydev, pouring some oil. You go there, you can't believe it. So many thousands of people come. I was thinking maybe for Prabhupada's disappearance we'll have to do the same thing sometime. They have these two troughs like this, galvanized steel troughs. And there's all these arrangements so people can come and come from both sides. So they have four places people are pouring mustard oil into those troughs. Then a pipe comes out, one, joins with the pipe coming out of the other, and then they have it coming down over Sunnydev. And that way, you know, at least 100 people at a time, because 30,000 people are coming, so it's amazing. There Sunnydev is there. So Maharaj was describing so nicely how this, just nearby here, a little ways over this way, is Kishori Kund, where he found that Radha Binod, and he kept him in the bag around his neck. Now, Lokanath and Bhugarbha, they came here before the six Goswamis, so they were the real pioneers. And what happened was, Radha Binod was hanging around his neck, so Lokanath would wander around Braj, and Radha Binod would speak to him and tell him what pastimes happened in this place, what pastime happened in that place, and this way he was beginning the groundwork of later the six Goswamis coming and revealing all these places. So Radha Binod was there telling him that what all the pastimes. Can you imagine? You all think it's so nice that Deen Bandhu tells the pastime. Or Maharaj tells the pastime. Can you imagine Krishna telling you the pastime? Then he mentioned this Kishori Kund is just here. This is where we turned off the road. That is Chata. And not far is Umarawa. So Chata, you know Chata means umbrella. So in that place, the cowherd boys, they crowned Krishna as the king of Braj. And they were holding a big Chata over his head. And Krishna told them, now you go from to forest and declare that Krishna is the king of Braj. And all other kings, anyone else claiming to be king, should come and surrender at his lotus feet. So meanwhile, on the other side of the highway, just a little ways not far from here, is Umarau. Umarau means emperor. So in that place, the gopis, they crowned Radharani as the empress of Braj. And they told that if anybody comes here saying there's any other king or emperor in this place, we're going to arrest him. So meanwhile, Madhu Mango came in that direction, declaring that Krishna is the king of Braj, all other kings should surrender at his lotus feet. So the gopis immediately surrounded him, arrested him, and tied his arms with flower garlands and brought them before Radharani, who was sitting on a big throne, and Lalita and Vasaka there were her two ministers. And they declared, this guy is talking about some false king of Braj. So he should be punished. And Madhu Mangal said, yes, it is very fit that I be punished. You please punish me in such a way that my belly becomes full. I said, this is just a greedy old Brahmin. Just fill his belly with laddus and send him back. So they filled his belly with letters, and he ran back to Krishna, and he told Krishna, he said, there's another empress here whose power and influence are much greater than you. You couldn't imagine how they insulted me, tied me up, and brought me with bowed head before her. You better immediately go there. And he took Lala Kaniya by the hand. He said, come, 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 and he brought him there. Meanwhile, Radharani was sitting on this big throne, and she saw her beloved Prananath coming. And she said, I'm sitting on this big throne in front of me. She started to squirm. She went to get out of the socket. No, 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 stay here, stay here. So that Madhu Mangal, he came there, and very nicely he sat Sri Shyam Sundar right next to Srimati Radharani on that throne. And he made a pact between them, peace pact, which Krishna accepted, that Radharani is the empress of Braj. And everybody was just enjoying this wonderful scene of Radha and Krishna sitting together. And Madhu Mangal leaned over to Radharani. He said, now, the kingdom of Krishna's body is yours. You take whatever you want from it. And he looked at Vishakha. He said, well, I've done my business, you know. You give me some laddus and I'll get out of here. I'll make myself scarce. So Lalita gave him a bunch of laddus. He ran away so all the sakis and mandaris can enjoy this beautiful scene. Like that. So all these wonderful places are here all around. Actually, this is where Bakasura began to chase Krishna. A little ways from here is a place called Bakatara. That's where he actually ate him. But this is where the Leela starts here. There's a little place on the way towards Javat. Javit's just over in this direction. There's a little Bakatara where that Bakasura was actually ripped in half like a blade of grass. So Maharaj so sweetly described the Leela of Narottam being accepted as a disciple of Lokanath Goswami. And Narottam, he's another person that we should understand very carefully. Because twice, another person, twice, Mahaprabhu mentions, before his even birth, when they were at Kateri Gram, they were having kirtan, they were all dancing on the side of the Padma River, they were leaping in the air, and they were chanting, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare! Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare! Hare! And Mahaprabhu suddenly began leaping in the air and yelling, Narottam! 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 Nityananda Prabhu said, what is this? Narottam, Nar Uttama, the greatest of men. Some special devotee must be here. Something is going on here. So he asked Mahaprabhu, he said, yes, in the future, Narottam Das Thakur will be born here. And I'm going to leave, I'm going to deposit all of my prem in this Padma River. Can you imagine? We're always depositing our money. In the Padma Bank, Lord Gauranga deposited all of his Gauranga prem and told Padma River that when Naro comes here, you deliver this fixed deposit to him. Second time, he told Lokanath that you go to Vrindavan, you wait there because my devotee Narottam will come. Twice, Mahaprabhu mentioned. Just imagine how special Narottam Das Thakur must be. Twice, Mahaprabhu predicts his message. And I heard slight variation from one great Vaishnava that after that scene of the cleaning the place where he did his morning necessities, he didn't really initiate him right away. He brought him, as all right, you come. And he sat him down where he had his Radha Binod. Now that time there wasn't like, you know, Loy Bazaar and Gopinath Bazaar and Hira Jewelers and all these places, you know. It's like now we see all the devotees, they have a string of Sheila, so it's got big silver and gold, you know, teeth like this, you know, and the beautiful golden string of sands and all this golden paraphernalia and everything like this, you know. There was nothing there. Lokanath was there. He was just by meditation decorating his Radha Binodji with so many beautiful necklaces and with pearls and diamonds and making beautiful throne. And he put beautiful golden chatta. We're talking about chatta. Put a beautiful golden chatta over Radha Vinod. And then he had this beautiful, this is all in meditation. Narottam is sitting next to him. This is all in meditation. Then he had this beautiful crown. When he went to put that crown, that chatta was in the way. He couldn't figure out, because it was a very big crown, big mukut. He couldn't figure out, how is he going to get it there? And Narottam leaned over and said, just sort of tilt the chatta this way. I mean, this is all going on in meditation. There's nothing there you can see. And Narottam said, tilt the chatta this way and then slip it under. And Lokanath looked at him. So he, in his meditation, he tilted the chatta and put it there. So then he's, all right, now I have to give this guy initiation. He has understood my heart. So, anyway, this is, we can just imagine, this was such an austere place. Later, they called him there to Vrindavan to stay. Just over to the side here, because when we were coming here, we were in Barsana, so we just took the dirt roads and we came here somehow or other. There's an, off on the other side of the road, there's a village called Pisayo, where Kaneya was very, very thirsty. So Baldao, he brought not this earthly Ganga, but Akash Ganga down to quench the thirst of his little brother Kaneya. So there's a little kun there, and the place is called, was yet Pyas, you know, so somehow now gradually has become Pisayo. After you leave Pisayo to come here, you suddenly enter into a very special forest. And we hear about the forests of Braj, but everywhere we go we see farmland. Suddenly, there's no farmland. There's just a dirt road. There's no farmland. And everywhere you just see pilu trees and kadamba trees. There's just forest. It's actually forest. And no one there. It's very special place, and you just see all these old gnarled pilu trees. One is leaning this way, one is just leaning on his arm like this, meditating on Nandanandan, the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. They're just in so many incredible forms. You just, it's such an enchanting forest. All of a sudden, there's no, it's just strange. There's no farmland around anywhere. It's a forest. And you see these wonderful pilu trees. You just expect that Nandanandan's going to poke his head out from behind one of those and wink at you and disappear. Now when you're at Payaso, Pisayo, there's a temple there, and inside that temple there's a little shrine to Asvatthama. Because they say this is the forest of Asvatthama. Because you know his father gave him the blessing, Chirayu, Chiranjeev, that you will live for a long time. So what to do with long life? Just wander around Braj. He just wanders around Braj with his long life. In fact, all our, the old Gurukul boys, they all heard that that sticker forest way up the Bhaktivedanta Swami Marg, you know, on the right side, there's a sticker forest. They all heard that that's where he stayed. So later, after they graduated, they all told me how they used to sneak out at night and climb over the fence of the Gurukul. Gurukul teachers don't know this. And they'd be all down the sticker forest trying to find Asvatthama. But actually, they say he stays over here. And nobody takes anything from that forest for his personal use. Not even dry wood lying on the ground, nothing. Only if there's a community function like a wedding or something like that. You know. But even then, whatever half-burned, even if it's half-burned wood, they all bring it back. Only for community function. Some wedding or somebody's death or something, they need to cook feast, they'll take wood. But even the half-burned, you'll see under that shrine, all this half-burned wood is lying there. I said, what was going on here? Then they told me, nobody takes it, because otherwise you get the curse of Asvatthama. So nobody takes anything from that forest. And they say if you go there and you stay in that forest and do nirjan bhajan, nirjan means alone, then sometimes you can get the darshan of Asvatthama. Even our Baba Madhav Das, who donated this Vrindakun, he told me, one doctor in Nandagam told him one time, big tall sadhu came. He never saw, because he's from, you know, that was Dwapar Yug, end of Dwapar Yug. Tall sadhu came, and he came to the doctor. And he said, Doc, I got this rash on my arm. And doctor looked. He said, I never saw such ancient-looking skin in my life. I said, Baba, who are you? He said, it's not important. You're just this itching like anything. Do something, you know, Doc. So he gave him some cream, you know, but he was rubbing this cream. He never saw skin like this in his life. And Baba began to walk away and he said, Baba, Baba, but who are you? And he just turned back and said, Aswatthama. When we were, before we got to Piaso, we were in another, Pisaya, we were in another village, Karhela. One person there told me one time, he was on Govardhan Prikam and he saw this big tall fellow who was just, he was taking strides like anything. And he never saw such a person like that in Braj, you know. And he was trying, you know, already it's hard enough to just do Govardhan Prikam and to try to catch up with someone who's very tall and big long legs and taking big long steps. You know, he just ran and he ran and he ran and he ran. Somehow he finally caught up with that guy and he looked up and he saw this big scar on his forehead. Because you know, Aswatthama, they cut off. As soon as he saw, that guy saw that he was looking at that scar, then boom, he just took off like a shot. You know, and he was out of breath. He couldn't keep up with him. So anyway, I know Padmalochan said he met sadhus who got Mahaprasad from Aswatthama's worshipping his deity somewhere in that forest, and he came and brought them Mahaprasad. So this is just a beautiful forest just over here. So we're very, very grateful to Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami. They came here, laid the foundation work, began this process of revealing all these places so that we could come here and sit in this dust of Braj and hear all these wonderful pastimes and pray to all of their lotus feet that someday, you know, we can't understand anything, but someday by the mercy of all these great Vaishnavas, by the mercy of Prabhupada, by the mercy of our gurus and the Vaishnavas, one day we'll be able to understand all these pastimes and enter into their deep meanings. Hare Krishna.